plenty to talk about this morning. Now, you might recall last week the Department of Fire and Emergency Services was dealing with a fire at a Highgate apartment block that started when two e-bikes were left charging on a balcony overnight. Now, these kind of fires, which are caused by rechargeable lithium-ion batteries, are becoming increasingly common. And while they can destroy individual homes, they can also potentially cause even more damage when they happen in an apartment complex. And that's why a group representing apartment owners is looking to tighten the rules around e-bikes and e-scooters. Now, Fred Tuckwell is the chair of the Owners Corporation Network. It's actually a not-for-profit organisation which represents people who own and live in apartments. And he's with me to talk about this now. Good morning, Fred, and thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Nadia. It's great to be here.
And now just tell us about this bylaw that your group is working on.
I guess firstly, when we started off with electric vehicles, and there was this whole sort of nonsense about the risk and, hysteria about the risk of electric vehicles. When we looked into the facts of the matter, there's been very, very few electric vehicles fires in Australia. And as you've just pointed out, the real risk is within e-bikes and e-scooters. Now, it's not to say all e-bikes and e-scooters are at risk. The risky ones are the ones, cheap imports, ones where people want to have a play with them, hot them up, change the battery, change the charging mechanism. They're usually the ones that put people at risk. And because of that risk, we took the decision to write a couple of documents, one about about lithium-ion battery risks, one a bylaw about e-bikes and e-scooters, and then thirdly, another one which we call a code of practice or a code of conduct for how you might just sensibly go about charging normal devices with lithium-ion batteries.
Okay, let's look at some of the things that you're looking at, because is it right to assume that e-bikes and e-scooters would be very popular for people who live in apartments, first of all?
I think, and that's our platform, yeah, right from the very beginning. Firstly, we're about sustainability. So mm-hmm. where there are people, and there's a program on Channel 7 with a guy wanting to ban them, we're absolutely not saying ban these things, because it is absolutely a viable, efficient way of getting around. So it's a nonsense really to ban them. But what we are highlighting is the risks of cheap imports, improper use, improper charging techniques, as I said, playing with them.
Okay. So the thing that you're working on, your bylaws, will it determine, first of all, let's go through these step by step, would it determine what kind of e-bike and e-scooter and someone could own that lives in an apartment?
Yes, there was the ACCC report, and that was supported by recommendations from the CSIRO that devices should have the regulatory compliance mark, which implies that the bike has had some sort of a testing and it's fit for purpose. So that's where we sort of started with it. It's not to say that that's the be-all and end-all. We're also advocating in New South Wales, at least with Fair Trading, to do a little bit more work in terms of testing and certifying bikes to provide consumers with advice on what is and what isn't an acceptable e-bike.
Okay, so what sort of things would you look at, that they wouldn't be too powerful or have powerful batteries? You know, would there be restrictions on being able to ramp up power, those kind of things?
Well, it's in the first instance, it's the build quality. Yep. One of the reasons that EVs and computers and phones and God knows what else are safe and relatively free from fire is they're built to good quality. There's high standards, technical standards around building them. The cheap imports, that is not the case. Good quality imports, yes, absolutely, it is the case, which is why they're a lower risk. So it's really defining and having the government take a role in establishing what is really a fit for purpose e-bike. You know, what are the set of criteria, the charging, the batteries, excessive powers, the various authorities in New South Wales anyway limit the amount of power you can put into them.
Would people have to tell their strata that they own one of these devices?
In the bylaw, it's the one we've developed, it's a model bylaw. And it's up to the people who are responsible in an apartment building, the owner's corporation, to establish the bylaw. Now, we are recommending in the bylaw that you keep a register. In New South Wales, the analogy is sort of with pets. There was a whole hoo-ha about pets, and a lot of owners' corporations want to keep a register of pets. Or we think it's appropriate to keep a register of e-bikes, which includes, you know, its compliance and all those things that, you know, make it a safe thing. But it's up to the owners' corporations to actually implement that.
Okay. I'm talking to Fred Tuckwell. He's the chair of the Owners Corporation Network, which is a not-for-profit organisation that represents people living in strata titles, apartments, villas, those kind of things. And they've there's suggestions. So it's a proposal of some bylaws that could be put in place to just make your e-bikes and e-scooters safer. Now, most of the fires that we understand that happen, firefighters often say they happen during the charging process. So under the bylaws that you're looking at or proposing, would you look at where people could charge their devices or when they could charge their devices?
Yeah, we have addressed that from a couple of points. One, we've got a list of safe charging practices, you know, the right way to go about it. And, you know, there's some common sense things, you know, like if you're going to charge one in your apartment, well, preferably don't charge it in your apartment. Yep. If you're a larger scheme, they might be able to afford to have a fire safe or an area where you can park it outside, a secure area to park it. So that would be ideal. Mm-hmm. If you have to park it inside and charge it inside, do it in an area which is away from combustible material on a hard surface, and definitely don't charge it in a fire exit, in the hallway or somewhere, because if the thing catches fire, you're stuck. You've got to be able to get out.
Do you address the issue of charging overnight? Any suggestions there?
That's a real difficult one. Mm-hmm. We think it's we use the word monitor, that you should monitor charging of a bike. There have been deaths from the noxious gases that are put off before they catch fire. So we think it's sensible not to charge overnight, but people charge their computers, their phones, and God knows what. So you can't say must not charge overnight. You just have to say it has to be monitored, and common sense, and for God's sake, have a smoke alarm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd think most places would these days. And what about the issue of insurance, Fred? I wonder if you've looked at this issue, because if a fire starts in one apartment, it can obviously end up costing other apartment owners money. So, you know, if their properties are affected. So do you think you need people to disclose that they have one of these devices to insurance companies as well?
We're actually on the subject, this whole subject, we've got a webinar coming up, which is actually available to everybody on the 15th of February. And we've invited representatives from the Insurance Council of Australia to talk at that. And that's a question I'll be asking them. The bylaw at the moment has a clause in there saying you should disclose. And again, it would be up to the various owners' corporations to determine whether they implement that or not. It's a hard one.
All right. When will you finalise these bylaws, Fred? When can we look at the final draft?
They'll be launched on
draft?
The 15th.
15th at your webinar?
On the 15th at our webinar. The three documents that I mentioned will be launched there.
Okay. And then is the hope that, you know, individual apartment complexes could then adopt what you propose?
Yes. And happy to take questions there and sort of, you know, try to clear the air and get a simple view. The ACCC report recommend that people be educated on it. So that's the role that we're doing here. We're trying to educate people on the risks, common sense approaches, risk mitigation. Our approach to that is the three documents I said, and we'll be launching them on the 15th.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Fred, good to talk to you. Appreciate your time this morning. Fred Tuckwell there. He's from the Owners Corporation Network, representing people that live in apartment complexes that are under a strata. Karen says, Nadi, my stick vacuums have lithium-ion batteries. One of them automatically switches off power when fully charged. How about insisting manufacturers build in an auto switch-off in the charging capacity? Great idea. This listener says, I'm a tradie working in the sun. My high-quality tools are shutting down when they get too hot. Quality batteries with matching chargers maintained and cared for. And Fiona says, I use lithium batteries every day for my portable radio and portable fan, so I charge three big ones every day. Out of interest, I needed to know how they work the recharging process and overcharging, and from that, I've gained the utmost respect for them and unplug any charging device religiously before I go out or before I go to bed. Good practice there, Fiona.